Amen. Turn with me this morning to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. God has been directing us, I believe, to a season of acknowledging, recognizing, reverencing His holiness. Because if we are going to see a move of God happen in our community and in our church and in our families, we're going to have to honor Him. Because He's not going to pour out His Spirit where He is not honored and where He is not reverenced. And so that's what we're trying to create, a culture in our church and in our families of honoring and reverencing Him. Because I am really hungry for a move, a genuine, not man-made, not man-manufactured, but a genuine outpouring of the Holy Spirit that just moves in this place and touches lives and changes lives. Amen? And so that's where we are. We're going to be preaching on holiness. We're going to be preaching on glory. I want to see the glory of God fill this house. As much as we can stand it, I want to receive it. Amen? Don't you? Because I'm telling you, in the glory, there's healing. In the glory of God, there's deliverance. In the glory of God, there is absolute peace. There's strength. There are miracles. We need the glory of God. Amen? So this morning, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12, and continuing in that vein, I'm going to begin reading with verse 25. Here's what Scripture says. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Let me just take a quick break here and tell you there's a shaking coming. There's a shaking coming. God is going to move in this earth, but at the same time, I'm just issuing you a warning that the enemy is also moving. And it's time to make a decision as to who you're going to follow. Because those things that are not of God are not going to remain. Because in this shaking that's coming, the weak are going to get weaker. But I've got good news for you this morning. The strong are going to get stronger. I want to be strong in the Holy Ghost. I want to be strong in Christ. I want to endure this shaking that's coming to the church, to the world, to the earth. We've already seen some of it beginning to unfold even this week. I'm going to use a word here. I don't want to set anybody off. But if you follow the news, you saw some stuff about aliens, right? I want to tell you this morning. Let me just get this on the record. I believe those are real entities that people are seeing. I don't think myself they're people from another planet. I believe they're demonic entities. They're powers of darkness. In fact, Scripture tells us we don't need some kind of meeting to tell us what they are. We know what they are. Scripture tells us that there are spiritual powers arrayed in the heavenlies. So we don't have to be afraid, but we have to be aware and know what's going on. So even if they come, even if they arrive and start telling you something, you better be strong and rooted in your Bible, because they're going to come to deceive. I hope we're out of here before that happens. But if not, we're the church. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father is sitting on the throne this morning. He's not vacated his throne, nor will he ever. He is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, of his rule and reign, there is no end. He has been given dominion over everything. Everything in heaven, in the earth, and under the earth. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Praise God. Can I get any kind of witness here this morning? So I just want you to be aware. Don't be alarmed. Don't be moved. Only be moved by what thus saith the Lord. So let's keep reading. Verse 28. I find it kind of odd, strange. I start talking about alien beings and Steve walks in. He might fit some of those categories, but Steve's all right. Amen. Everybody say, hey, Steve. Hey. I couldn't resist. I'm sorry. I apologize. So don't come in late because I'll get you. Okay. Anyway, moving on. Verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a king or a kingdom which cannot, everybody say cannot, yeah. Cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with what? With reverence and godly fear. Why? For our God is a consuming fire. Praise the Lord. You know, there are moments in Scripture where people encounter the holiness of God. You know what? Everything changes. When Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, he didn't celebrate. He literally fell apart. Here's what the word says. Isaiah 6 says, oh, he said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And he said, the whole earth is full of his glory. Then Isaiah said this, woe is me. You know, sometimes we have the wrong concept of who we are, don't we? We tend to think too much of ourselves. We're all that in a bag of chips, right? But when you come into the presence of God, you realize he is the one that's all that, not you. And Isaiah had that very experience. He said, woe is me, for I am ruined. I am undone because I am a man of unclean lips. Even Peter, when he realized who Jesus was, he didn't boast. He fell to his knees. Luke says, but when Simon Peter saw that, when he realized that it was Jesus, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Yet today we talk about God so casually and we rarely respond to him properly. The holiness of God is not just something that we admire. The holiness of God is something that demands a response from us. So our real question this morning is this: how should we respond to the holiness of God in our everyday lives? Number one, we respond in reverence. Everybody say reverence. Holiness means that God is completely set apart. He's pure. He's righteous. God is unlike anything else. First Peter says, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all of your behavior. Because it is written, here you go, here's our command, be holy because I am holy. God is telling you, not asking you, not saying this is a good suggestion. He's saying, be holy because I am holy. Reverence is not a fear that pushes you away. It's an awe that draws you close to him with honor and respect. So what does reverence look like? See, reverence, when you reverence God, it changes how you speak about God. It changes how you approach worship. You don't approach worship casually. You don't walk into a sanctuary where people are worshiping God and decide, I may or may not worship him today. That's disrespectful, not only to the congregation and to the people there, but it's more importantly, it's disrespectful to the very one that worship is being offered up to. We need to honor him and reverence him. It changes how you live when no one else is watching. You stop treating holy things as common things. Too many people, too many of us, we want God's power, but we don't want his holiness. But church, you cannot separate the two. You don't walk into a courtroom and treat the judge like he's your buddy. Hey, what's up, dude? I'll tell you what's up. Lock him up. Bring him back when he has some respect. And you know what? We'll walk into the courtroom and show a man sitting on the bench, more respect than we do when we come into the house of God sometimes. Don't miss a good place to shout amen to that. How much more should we approach the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords when we come into his house to worship him? You ain't gonna walk into a courtroom and start telling jokes. You ain't gonna look at the judge and say, "What you say?" But reverence is where it starts. We're talking about the holiness of God this morning. But it doesn't stop there, because it also, we respond to him with our repentance. Oh, the church needs, we need a revival of repentance. Every true encounter with God's holiness reveals something in us that needs to change. I don't care how good you look, how well you're dressed, I don't care how much money you've got in the bank. When you come into the presence of God, you're going to see there's something in my life that needs to change. Something in me that needs to die. That's why we need to come to these altars every chance we get. You may not even feel the Spirit of God moving in a service, but when the preacher or the pastor or the speaker gives an altar call, you ought to get your rear end down here in the altar. If you don't feel the Spirit, some people say, "Well, I ain't going until I feel the Spirit tugging me or pulling me." Sometimes you just got to get up from where you're seating, put one foot in front of the other, fight those demons that are telling you to sit down and be quiet, get down here on the altar, and you say, "Lord, I don't know what you're going to do, but here I am." And God, see, here's the thing about the altar. What happens at altars? I like saying this. What happens at altars? In the Old Testament, they brought an animal to the altar. What was going to happen to that animal? It was about to die. When you come to the altar, things in you die. Attitudes die. Come on now. Addictions can die. Bondages can die. Chains can be broken and die off of you, praise the Lord. But it ain't going to happen when you sit back and wait. We just got to get desperate. We just got to get desperate for God. Come on, somebody. We got to get desperate for him. That's what Isaiah said. "Woe is me." When he came into God's presence, he said, "Because, man, when I look at my own life," he said, "I am undone. I am ruined. I'm nothing." Because holiness exposes sin. Not to condemn you, but to cleanse you. 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins." And then what does he do? He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. See, God's holiness does not push you away. It invites you to draw close and be made clean. Because repentance in everyday life means we have a quick conviction, not delayed excuses. Honest confession, not spiritual pretending and playing games. It means turning away, not just feeling bad about something. See, some people feel bad about what they've done, how they've been living, but they never change their direction. That's not repentance, my friends. That's regret. See, if you get on the road, you go out here on Highway 11, and you're going to go to Greenville, and you cross across the first two sets of traffic, and you go to the other lanes, and you go that way, you're in the wrong lane, right? You're going in the wrong direction. Now, sooner or later, if you stay on the road going in that direction, what's going to happen? You're going to crash. So when you realize, you ever pulled into, like, if you ever travel somewhere like Raleigh, it's kind of getting that way around here now, I guess, but it used to be you go to Raleigh and you would take a turn. Next thing you know, you're on a one-way street going the wrong way. What do? You don't just keep trucking along. Man, I'm sweating. I'm going, oh my God, I hope there ain't a cop nearby. I need to turn around and go the other way, right? Well, see, that's how sin is. If you keep playing with it and you just keep patting it and loving it and just feeling bad about it, but you don't change it, you're never going to see the change that God wants in your life. But if you recognize that sin is what it is, it's sent to destroy you, to destroy your family, to keep you out of the kingdom of heaven. When you recognize that, you're going to look at that sin and say, no more. I'm not going to participate in that no more. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to turn around and go in the other direction. Not just feel bad about it. Not just come to the altar and weep and cry and get up and do the same thing before you get home. You're going to change. Repentance says, I'm turning around. But God doesn't just call us to feel something. He calls us to become something. And we respond with transformation. See, God's holiness is not just something that we observe. It's something that we're called to reflect. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says this, but we all, with unveiled face, and it goes on and says, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. So you see, holiness is not just behavior modification. Holiness is true transformation. It's God changing you. It's you coming into his presence, leaving a different person than when you went into his presence. Because you cannot come into God's presence and remain the same. Y'all need to digest that. Because if you come into his presence, there's going to be something that's going to happen in your life. This affects your everyday life. This is where it hits the road. It means you're going to treat people differently. I'm going to stop and ponder that one. Scripture, Psalms would say, Selah. Think about that. You're going to treat people differently. I have found out some of the meanest people there on the earth are in the church. I didn't say this church, I said the church. But it's true. I've met some people in full-time ministry. So I could tell you one person that I consider probably at one point the meanest person I think I've ever met was a leader. These things ought not to be so. Just because you're a Christian don't mean that you don't have to operate in the fruit of the Spirit. Just because you're a leader doesn't mean that you don't have to operate in the fruit of the Spirit. Just because you're working at the Welcome Center don't mean that you don't have to operate in the fruit of the Spirit. Y'all understand what I'm saying here? That means we're all commanded to observe and to live and to walk out the fruit of the Spirit. We need to treat people with kindness and respect. It'll reflect in your life in how you handle pressure. Some people get under pressure and the whole world falls apart. Some people get under pressure, and for some unknown reason, they've got a peace that you can't understand. It doesn't turn their lives inside out when trouble comes. Now, they have to deal with it just like everybody else does, right? But they've got something inside of them that's different than what this world has. So when people see you at work tomorrow and a little pressure comes, you can't respond like the world responds. You can't handle pressure the same way they handle pressure. Because you've got someone on the inside of you that's bigger than that pressure. Amen? And he's here to help you overcome that pressure. And you need to represent God's holiness even in the workplace. Come on, somebody. So while you're cutting meat in the deli at Food Lion, you got to respect God enough to represent him. Same thing is true for pastors, right? Just because you're a pastor doesn't mean that you're exempt. I believe you're held to a higher standard. You've also got to watch what you say. You get around some people and they start talking, you don't know if they know God or not. The words that come out of their mouth, you think, oh. One thing that makes me cringe, I hate it when Christians curse. Now, I'm not telling you it's going to send you to hell, but it sure is disrespectful. You're not guarding and watching the communication like Scripture says is coming out of your mouth. You may feel like, well, I've got grace for that. You keep thinking that. But if you keep disrespecting the word, you're going to find out how far grace will go. We need to be careful what comes out of our mouth, not just in bad language, but in what we say about people. Because it's just as bad. You know, we like to pinpoint sins. We like to look at things and say, well, you know, she has done this and that, and man, she has just blown it. And we pinpoint certain things, and we call them the worst sins. But I'm going to tell you, the Bible doesn't say a lot about some of the things that we put at the top of the totem pole for that. But it does have a lot to say about this thing that's hanging between your lips called your tongue. You got to guard your tongue. Watch what comes, because your tongue can control your life. So we got to watch what we say, and we got to watch what we pursue. What are you going after? Where is your heart turned? And when I get up in the morning, I came in yesterday. I came into my office, you know, and I've got my sermon ready. I've got, you know, everything's done. You know, I'm thinking I just want to sit here in my office for a few minutes. And before I cut on this video, and it was some worship. And before you know it, I've been here 3 hours just sitting there in my office chair worshiping, pouring my heart out to God. And I thought, man, I can't believe that much. I got to go home now because my wife's expecting me to be home. And so I'm just saying, we got to govern what we're pursuing. I'm hungry. And I tell you, I'm hungry for a move of God. I'm not lying to you. I'm hungry for a move of God. And if there are things in my life that God has to clear out, if there are things in my life that he has to change, I want to be willing and obedient enough to say, Lord, show it to me. Let me change it. Give me the strength, Holy Spirit, to change that in my life, because I genuinely want to see a move of God in my family and in my church. And if God shows you something that needs to change, be obedient and change it. So I doubt, I wonder how many times has he shown us stuff and yet we just overlook it and continue on with the same old, same old. It's like that definition we talked about a few weeks ago, the definition of insanity. To keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting to get different results. That's insane. So if we just keep going through the motions, keep singing the same way, keep walking in with the same attitude, we're going to get the same thing we had last Sunday and the Sunday before. But if we can walk in here this morning with our hearts and minds focused on God, our hearts and minds turned toward worship, because the one who is here is the one that's worthy of our worship, and if we can come into this place giving him praise and thanks and honor and reverence, I'm telling you, we're going to see a move of God break out in this place. And it's going to change us. We're going to be a people of transformation. That's what I want more than anything, to see us changed. To change how you lead your family. It'll change how you represent Christ at work and at play. You begin to look different because here's why. You've been with him. That's what they said about the disciples. When they started preaching the gospel and they had the power of the Holy Spirit and they were going into cities and they were seeing revivals break out, the leaders would look at them and say, are not these the ones? Are not these the ones who were with Jesus? Who've been with Jesus? I want people to see you tomorrow and go, something different about her. Something different about him. What is it that makes the difference? Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus makes the difference. So you don't become holy because you try harder. You become holy by staying closer to him. And the closer you get to God, the more his nature is going to shape you. And this transformation leads to my last point this morning. We respond with surrender. Here's what God is calling. He's calling us to surrender. Isaiah was cleansed. And God asked the question. God said, after Isaiah had his experience, the holiness of God, God said, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? What was Isaiah's response? Here I am, Lord. Send me. Send me. Holiness doesn't just change how you feel. It changes how you live. Surrender means that your life is no longer your own. Come on now. It means that your plans suddenly become secondary. When you plan something, you begin to say, God, should I do this? Should I go here? Should I buy this? And God will respond and answer and show you, give you direction on what you need to do. Because God is no longer in the background here to clean up your mess, right? How many times have we done that? We make our own decision because we think we know what's right. We want something, we don't even ask God. We just go do it, right? And then we get in trouble, can't make our payments. Lord, send me the money. God says, I didn't tell you to buy that car anyway. You work it out. But I'm glad God is graceful and merciful. And he will help us, praise God. And when you respond with surrender, then your obedience becomes immediate. You stop asking, what is it, or what do I want to do? You start asking, what is God calling me and directing me to do? So everyday surrender looks like this. It means saying yes, even when it's inconvenient. My wife tells me all the time, and she has it, I think, posted on our refrigerator, just simple words. Just say yes to God. Just say yes to God. I'm going to tell you, I never wanted a pastor again. I had got to a point, I was okay serving as an assistant pastor. You know, I had a pretty easy job working, just helping out, filling in. A lady asked me, I worked with one day, not before we got here, she goes, do you ever want a pastor again? I said, no. I do not want a pastor. I'm okay being an assistant, an associate. Don't want to be a youth pastor, but because I'm done with youth pastoring. I'm done with lock-ins. Lord, please, let me take that back. Lord, I hope I'm done with lock-ins. Because I said that not too long ago, and then I wind up having to do a lock-in. So, Lord, please forgive me for my words. I'd rather not do another lock-in. I like to pop in and see how everybody's doing and then go home, right? I don't want to stay up all night with a bunch of crazy teenagers. But I told her, I said, no, I do not want to pastor. No desire in my heart to pastor. I'm going to Bible college, but I don't want to pastor. And then one day, I'm coming from my church job, going home. I ride past this church. And I heard in my spirit, it's time to get back to your roots. Now, I'm in a non-denominational church working now, okay? I've been out of the Church of God for many years, okay? And I rode by this building right here, and when I got past, I heard in my spirit, it's time to get back to your roots. Well, I initially thought, get back to some basic concepts of Scripture, of the Bible. But it began to unfold to me. I believe the Lord was revealing to me my roots were in the Church of God. I grew up in a Church of God. I grew up in the Grendel Creek Church of God, which is Lion of Judah now, Church of God. But we were the Grendel Creek Church of God. It was old school. I mean, Pentecostal holiness, tongue talking, arms flying, people running around the church. I mean, that's what I grew up in. And we kind of have got to a point where we had matured. We didn't really do that stuff anymore. But when I came by this church, God said, it's time to get back to your roots. And it began to unfold to me. What he was saying was, my roots were in the denomination of the Church of God. So I got this passion to want to be here. Never, I've been by this church. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've ridden by this church. My brother-in-law started this church many years ago. I rode by here. Never, ever dawned in my mind that I'd want to be a pastor here. In fact, when I came by this church was closed. They had shut it down because it had so many different things happen that the bishop finally said, enough's enough, I'm closing it. And when I reached out to Pastor Wayne Flora, who will always, forever be so important to me, I told him, and I thought, it's crazy. This is weird. It's nuts. I know there ain't no chance. So I reached out to Wayne, and I said, I don't know what the plans are for this ministry, but I would like to be the pastor. In so many words, I was a little more. I didn't come out and say it like that, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I worded my letter correctly. And man, he got on board. He was on the state council, which I didn't know it at the time. He went up there, and he became my biggest advocate. And he just told me a couple of weeks ago, I was with him in a meeting, he reminded me and a couple of other men, he says, and you know what, when they were trying to decide what to do with this church, because it was shut down, he said, there were several ministers that wanted to come here who were already Church of God ministers. I wasn't even in the Church of God at that point. I had surrendered my license 30 years ago. But somehow, God got involved. Because I know it's God. Because there ain't no way I'd be up here if it weren't God. And I found favor everywhere I turned. And they came in here. They met with me and Ray. And they gave me this list. I mean, this is funny to me. Because they gave me this list. And he said, here's a list of the people who were here when we shut the church down. If I were you, the bishop told me, if I were you, I wouldn't call any of them. He said, they're no longer members here because we told them when they left that you're no longer a member, that you, if you want to come back, you got to go through the process if the church ever opens again. So, but he said, but there is one, well, there was three on that list. He said, there's a man who's been here probably since the beginning. He said, yeah, he's been nothing but good. He said, I would call him. And his name was Lenny. Lenny comes with the property. Okay? And so, and I knew Lenny because Lenny's my neighbor. So I said, yeah, I definitely want Lenny. And then there was another younger couple, well, older couple, who was ministers. They had just started coming here. C.E. and Nancy Sarver. He said, now, I would, you know, you could talk to them. But he said, but the rest of them, leave them alone. I suggest you leave them alone. You know what? I should have left them alone. Because some of them came back, and it bit me. But God worked it out. Everything's cool in every way. But Lenny and the Sarvers, they came with us, and they helped us. Lenny was up here painting these walls because they told me to change this building. We did it. We changed everything. And we had chandeliers hanging, and we took the chandeliers out. We just renovated everything. I'm about ready for a new renovation myself, but that's just me. I like change. But I'm just saying that when God gets behind something, when you draw to him, you'll do things that you thought you never could do. And so instead of saying, now I got to go back and tell this girl, you know what? I said no, but something's changed. And I tell you this, when it changed, it happened quickly. I was gone from the other church in about 2 weeks' time, ready to come over here. Then the process slowed down. It took a while longer. I'm on go, ready to move, and I had to wait. But there's something about waiting. There's a process of waiting that will change you. Amen? Because during that waiting, I wasn't just twiddling my thumbs. I was working. I was sitting out in the parking lot praying. Didn't even have a key to the building. But I was praying, God, open these doors. And you know what? Step by step, God did it all. And here we are today. All right, I'm going to tell you the truth. I was a little bit discouraged coming into today. Y'all ever get discouraged? Not discouraged where I'm going to quit, nothing like that. I was just thinking, here's what I was thinking. Ain't nobody going to be at church today. Well, it's Mother's Day, you know? And I've got two families on a cruise. Another family out going to the mountains. Some of my most vocal people. And there are others who are out for different reasons. And I thought, man, there ain't hardly going to be anybody here today. And I was kind of discouraged a little bit. But look at you. You came out. Give yourself a hand clap. Amen. So instead of leaving discouraged, I get to leave encouraged. That's because of you. Thank you. Because God loves you. And apparently you love God, right? So praise the Lord. So I just want to tell you that because I'm human just like you are. Now, that doesn't mean I was going to come in here and give anybody half a sermon. I don't care if it was just me and Ray. I was going to preach it. You understand what I'm saying? Because the chairs, the empty chairs, are not who I'm talking to. I'm talking to the ones who are sitting in the chairs. So praise God. So this surrender means we're honoring who he is because we bring him reverence. Turning from what is not like him is repentance. Scott, pull up my last screen there. That way I'm going through these. And then becoming like him is transformation. And then when we live fully surrendered, that if God says go, you go. If God says stop, you stop. If God says give, you give. If God says don't give, don't give. Honor him. Honor him. That means you're living fully surrendered to him. And sometimes God will tell you to give when that's all you got left. And you wonder, how am I going to do what I need to do? But when you give and honor what God has told you to do, man, you're putting your trust in God. Uh-oh. Did y'all hear what I just said? When you give like that, you're putting your trust in God. And God will come through for you. The psalmist said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed doing what? Begging bread. One of the things that my wife and I do, we decided we were not going to stop giving our tithe. Even when we were in our hardship, we decided we're going to pay our tithe. We faithfully have paid our tithe. And I'm telling you, God has turned our life around. Now, we may not be driving a car as nice as you is. I'm about to get my master's degree. Here I am preaching. You is. Lord, who should I say sent me? I is. You know, so, forgive me. But when you trust God with your giving, he will honor that. That is obedience. Because doesn't the Bible say, if you bring the tithe into, now I don't want this to be a message on giving, but here's the obedience part. If you bring your tithe into the storehouse, this is where you get fed the word of God. When you bring your tithe in, he said, in doing this, he said, test me. The only time in scripture you're going to find God say, try me or test me in your giving. And if you do that, what's going to happen? He said, I will open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that you can't even contain it all. I want a blessing like that. How about you? Some of y'all go, amen, you ain't giving 5 cents. Come on, I want a blessing like that. Amen. I'll tell you, I promise this to you. I promise I will preach you truth. May not always be something you want to hear. May not always be itchy, make your ears itch and desire, but it will be the truth of the word of God. Because you can't, some people, they stay in a cycle of defeat. Again, if you keep doing the same thing over and over again, wanting to change, what happens? What are you? You're insane. That is the definition of insanity, as someone has said. But if you really want to change, sometimes you got to do something different. Sometimes you got to get out of the boat. You got to take a step of faith and let God show himself strong on your behalf. Would you stand? Many of us here today, many people, they want an experience with God. But to be honest with you, we really ought to ask ourselves this question. Am I willing to respond to him? Because God is not just looking for admiration. He's looking for transformation. So today, we've got a couple of different types of people here. Those who have lost. Hello, 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 hello. Cut me up just a little bit. Those who have lost reverence. Scott's doing a great job out there, isn't he? Those who have lost reverence. Scott even got up here and sang on the praise team today because we needed some help. Those who have lost reverence because you become casual with the holy things. Those who need repentance. You feel conviction, but you haven't turned. And then there are those of us here this morning that are being called to a deeper surrender. God is asking for more of your life. This is your moment, church. This is your moment, my friend. Can you be like Isaiah and say, here I am. Send me. Use me. Let me be the one. I'm going to step out. I'm going to move forward. I'm not going to stand back anymore. Let that be your response today. So would you bow your head just for a moment? If you're here this morning, it's Mother's Day. What greater day than for anyone who's here without Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You've not committed your life to him. This is the moment right now for you to say, I'm ready for change in my life. So if you'll say with me, Pastor Eddie, I want to leave here knowing that Jesus is my Lord, that I've surrendered my life to him. And maybe I've not been living like that. My life does not reflect that. I've not really made him Lord of my life. But today I choose and want and desire to do that. Would you, while nobody's looking around, would you raise your hand and then put it right back down? Is there anyone? Anyone that wants to make that choice right now? Any hands? I'm gonna count to three, then we're gonna move on. One. Anyone need Jesus? Two. Okay. Three. So everybody pray this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I come before you this morning, and I'm in need of you. I don't know how to make it. I don't know how to live this life without you. Come into my life in a fresh and a real way. Change me. I surrender to you today. And I do that by asking that you take over my life. I repent of sin and I turn to Christ. I sell out wholly to you today. I declare with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and that you, Father, have raised him from the dead. He's alive. And now he's alive in me. So this morning I give you praise, Father, for changing my life and my heart. I'm only moving forward now. I'm not going back. Never, never, never. Never, never, never going back. In Jesus' name. Now, would you just give God some praise this morning? We had one hand go up. Now, I'm going to open up the altar. And if you need to come and say, Lord, work in my life today, some things, maybe you need to surrender to him. Remember, things die at the altar. If you're struggling with something, bring it to the altar and ask the Holy Spirit to help you. So as Alan sings and plays, we're making the altars available. So please, would you come? Would you come? And if you're about to leave, I'm going to dismiss you. I remind you, mothers, we have a photo booth there if you want to take some pictures. Please help yourself. And as fun as that is, there's nothing more important than what God is doing here at the altar. So I will ask you this, as we dismiss while people are coming, I want to ask you, as you leave the sanctuary reverently. If you got to talk, talk outside those doors. But let's let God do his work in here this morning. Amen. So Father, draw your people. I want to ask you, just give me just a few more minutes. I just feel like there's some people that need to surrender some stuff this morning. Do not leave here without responding to God. You're going to regret it. But he's here now to touch you and to take that from you. So please, our altar, find you a spot if you want to come pray. Find you a place and let the Holy Spirit do his work in you. The altar is open. Please come.